me a detailed email on it, and then I can't find that email, so I was asking Sherry earlier, so what's the scoop? Okay.
It used to be on the standard, you should say the paragraph, we come up during one of the doxologists, there's during the end of the two plates, and we just turn on the air.
Okay, and then I come back here and hear the people, okay, thank you. We welcome you all to our Lord's Day service, and we hope that the service is a blessing to you. We're delighted to welcome Pastor Mary Lou Palmer. Mary Lou served the Moravian Church as a pastor and continues to support the area churches with her inspirational preaching and wise counsel. We're also grateful this morning for the music ministry of Barbara Clausen, and we'd like to welcome Kathy Kirkland back to church. We're so happy to see you. Let us turn our hearts to worship the Lord.
Thank you.
God's word for the week is found in the first letter of Peter, chapter 1, verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. By his great mercy, he has given us a new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Please stand as we sing verses 1 through 4 of hymn 362 and remain standing for the liturgy found on page 43 in your hymnals. But God spoke into the emptiness, and light appeared, the dawn of our beginnings. God kept creating flowers, trees, seeds, and fruit, things that blossom and things that grow. God created more, life that crawled and life that swam, life that sprang on hooves and life that soared on wings.
The sun, the moon, the stars burst forth as light. The skies and the earth were filled with life, plants, creatures, and birds of every kind. And God rejoiced, saying, "It is good."
From the midst of this earth came yet another creature, created in God's image. There, in the bounty of the garden, God created humanity, male and female. God breathed into them life-giving breath. God looked upon these creatures with love and said, "It is good." Then God rested, seeing and loving what had been done, setting free this creation with all its potential for good and evil.
Gracious God, thank you for the goodness of creation, for the variety, the beauty, and the delicate complexity of life, your creation. Forgive us for the times we have not appreciated or cared for all you have given to us. Open our eyes, restore our hearts, and bring us back into relationship with you, the earth, and all of life.
of life is nowhere more profound than among human beings. We are many colors, shapes, and ages. Language, music, culture, and custom vary among us. We are a great tapestry woven from God's love. Artful weaver, you ask that we share your love with others, just as Jesus reached out and loved those most different from himself. Too often we fall short of this call, seeing differences as cause for fear rather than for celebration. Instead of caring for the tapestry, we unravel the fabric of your design. We perpetuate divisions of race and color, culture, class, and gender.
We give you thanks and praise that Jesus reveals your boundless love. Teach us this love, that the world may be one. Through your healing love, help us to break down the boundaries dividing the human family.
His followers to continue his ministry, asking us to feed, clothe, and give shelter, saying, as you do these things for the least of these, you do them for me.
We pray that we will hear the cries of need, and that we will not only hear, but join with others who respond in loving actions.
To the power and presence of God. The Spirit-filled church could not stop singing praises to God, reaching out to each other's needs, spreading the word of God's power and God's love. We remember this beginning and pray that the church will be infused with new life through the Spirit, calling us, claiming us, summoning us to the excitement and joy of faith.
Come, Holy Spirit. Ignite our hearts and impart your gifts again to the church. Blow through us and within us like a renewing, powerful wind.
Your love, Lord, God's favor.
the earth, and life itself, may God give birth to new life in us. May God's love be known to us today through Jesus Christ. And as tiny pebbles thrown into a pond cause ripples to move outward in ever-widening circles, may our love move from this place outward, expanding to embrace our neighbors, our community, our human family, and our world.
May all that we do and say and live be a witness, be a prayer, and be a celebration.
You may be seated. Our Old Testament lesson is taken from the book of Psalms. Protect me, O God, for in you I take refuge. I say to the Lord, you are my Lord. I have no good apart from you. As for the holy ones in the land, they are the noble in whom is all my delight. Those who choose another god multiply their sorrows. Their drink offerings of blood I will not pour out or take their names upon my lips. The Lord is my chosen portion and my cup. You hold my lot. The boundary lines have fallen for me in pleasant places. I have a goodly heritage. I bless the Lord who gives me counsel. In the night also my heart instructs me. I keep the Lord always before me. Because he is at my right hand, I shall not be moved. Therefore, my heart is glad and my soul rejoices. My body also rests secure. For you do not give me up to Sheol, or let your faithful one see the pit. You show me the path of life. In your presence there is fullness of joy. In your right hand are pleasures forevermore. Our New Testament lesson is taken from the first letter of Peter. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. By his great mercy, he has given us a new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, and into an inheritance that is imperishable, undefiled, and unfading, kept in heaven for you who are being protected by the power of God through faith for a salvation ready to be revealed in the last time. In this you rejoice. Even if now, for a little while, you have had to suffer various trials, so that the genuineness of your faith, being more precious than gold, that, though perishable, is tested by fire, may be found to result in praise and glory and honor when Jesus Christ is revealed. Although you have not seen him, you love him. And even though you do not see him now, you believe in him and rejoice with an indescribable and glorious joy, for you are receiving the outcome of your faith, the salvation of your souls. Our gospel lesson is taken from the book of John. When it was evening on that day, the first day of the week, and the doors of the house where the disciples had met were locked for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." After he said this, he showed them his hands and his side. Then the disciples rejoiced when they saw the Lord. Jesus said to them again, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, so I send you." When he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven them. If you retain the sins of any, they are retained." But Thomas, who was called the twin, one of the 12, was not with them when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, "We have seen the Lord." But he said to them, "Unless I see the mark of the nails in his hands and put my finger in the mark of the nails and my hand in his side, I will not believe." A week later, his disciples were again in the house, and Thomas was with them. Although the doors were shut, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." Then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here and see my hands. Reach out your hand and put it in my side. Do not doubt, but believe. Thomas answered him, My Lord and my God. Jesus said to him, Have you believed because you have seen me? Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have come to believe. Now Jesus did many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written so that you may come to believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that through believing you may have life in his name. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Promotion that took place last Thursday at the New York Rangers professional hockey game was very special for a few people, but very, very, very special for one of those special people. Following the game, the Rangers players donated the jerseys that they had worn during that game to people in the stands. They were invited to come down onto the rink. And as the players took off their jerseys, they autographed them and then gave them to that special group of people. Which I guess if you're into professional hockey, getting a sweaty, smelly jersey is a good thing. I tend to think of them as biohazards, but anyways. But one person who was invited down onto the rink was a young man, 18 years old. His name is Isaiah Marquez Green. He was chosen for this very, very special gift. Marquez Green, 18 years old, as I said, is a survivor of the Sandy Hook school shooting that took place in 2012. He survived that shooting, but unfortunately, his sister Anna did not. After the presentation of the jersey in the center of the rink, team captain Jacob Truba invited Mark Isaiah over to the players' bench. And that is where, away from the cameras other than one, Jacob said to him, I know about your situation. I know that you've been traumatized. You've had the tragedy of your sister passing away in a terrible, terrible method. But I know, I've heard, I've learned that you plan on going to law school. And with that, he presented him with a full ride scholarship to the law school of his choice. And not only that, and even more importantly than the scholarship, Jacob Truba gave Isaiah his personal phone number and said, I'll be calling you. You call me in the years to come. Let's stay in touch. And let me know when graduation is because I plan to be there when you graduate from law school. This is a remarkable story of encouragement. And it didn't take place on the center of the rink. It was off the side. They thought they were alone, but one person had a cell phone. It's a remarkable story of encouragement because of the largesse of the gift. But the real story that makes it, what makes it remarkable is the fact of this ongoing encouragement that Jacob gave to Isaiah. The passage from 1 Peter that Sherry read is about encouragement. One man encouraging a group of people who are also experiencing trauma as well. It is encouragement that will see them through their dire circumstances and reset their vision onto the living hope that is Jesus Christ. The first letter that's attributed to Peter was written about 30 years after the resurrection. Its original audience were most likely Gentiles who were considered resident aliens and household slaves in a rural area of Asia Minor. Now, 30 years is certainly long enough for people to put Jesus' teachings into practice, teachings that would set them apart from the rest of society, being kind, being gentle, thinking of others. 30 years, unfortunately, is long enough for people to have an adverse reaction to people who act differently. Persecution, social ostracism, and name-calling was what the people in Asia Minor could expect back then. That was the method of interaction with those people. The lives of those people were day-to-day misery as a result of this mistreatment and this abuse. And yet the writer of the letter that we just heard writes of encouragement. Encouragement in the form of a living hope found in Jesus Christ, given to his followers, no matter what their circumstances is. We have a living hope in Christ. His message of encouragement is a reminder of a new birth into an inheritance that is imperishable, undefiled, and unfading. If those words sound familiar, they're in our Easter liturgy. His encouragement is forward-focused. Much like Jacob's encouragement to Isaiah, I'll be with you in the years to come. We will have a personal relationship. I'll help you. Something good is here, the writer tells us, and it will continue to be here. It's already been put into play. The word that is translated to encourage in this passage means to comfort, to console, or to exhort. And encouragement is found throughout the New Testament. For example, in 1 Thessalonians, we are taught to encourage one another and build up each other. From the Gospel of John, love one another. From Romans, Paul's letter that outlines the whole, gives the whole view of what Christianity is about. Paul writes, live in harmony with one another, and later, welcome one another, and yet, greet one another. In 1 Corinthians, we are told to have the same care for one another. Ephesians, forgive one another. And in James, pray for one another. All of these are ways in which we can encourage others in the faith. Over and over again, we are instructed, or shall we say, we are encouraged to be encouragers, like Jacob to Isaiah, like the writer of 1 Peter to the beleaguered people in Asia Minor. Encouragement can and is one of the pathways to the divine. One of the writers of the magazine Homiletics recently retired, so he has a chance to go visit different churches. And what he's come away with is that churches do a great job of telling people to love one another. But we fall short on encouraging one another to be that hand that reaches out to others, that kind word, that pat on the back, such simple gestures of encouragement. And yet, we don't hear enough about doing those kind of behaviors. Now, why would that be? After all, studies are showing that encouragement is beneficial in so many ways. Dr. Keltner is a psychologist teaching at UC Berkeley. He is the author of a new book entitled Awe, the New Science of Everyday Wonder and How It Can Transform Your Life. Keltner describes awe as, quote, the feeling of being in the presence of something vast that transcends one's current understanding of the world. The feeling of being in the presence of something vast that transcends our current understanding of the world. Keltner writes that he and his colleagues have studied moments of awe as described by people from 26 different countries around the world with different religious and faith traditions. They categorized these experiences of awe into 8 different categories, some of which are nature, life and death experiences, spiritual and religious experiences, most common experience across the 26 countries of all the thousands of people they interviewed was in the area of moral beauty. In other words, people's acts of kindness and generosity, and may we add, encouragement. This is one of the biggest areas in which people feel a sense of awe. Moral beauty arises out of the kindness, strength, and courage that is given to others. When we witness people's kindness and self-sacrifice, it creates in us a sense of the existence of a power greater than ourselves that is outside of ourselves. And as a result of this sense of awe that is triggered by moral beauty or encouragement, our bodies respond physically by lowering our blood pressure, by decreasing our heart rates, and by releasing oxytocin, which promotes positive social interactions. Keep in mind, we are fearfully and wondrously made. Encouraging words can trigger experiences of awe, which in turn results in positive changes in our physical beings. Have you noticed that nowadays network news are including more and more stories on encouragement, people helping each other? That's where I found the story about Jacob and Isaiah was on a morning news show. Each day, every one of us has multiple opportunities to encourage others. Our paths cross briefly or for extended times. We always have the opportunity to offer encouraging words, attaboys, attagirls, whatever. The question is, do we do that? What is it that holds us back from encouraging others? We are people whose living hope is found in Jesus Christ. There really is no reason to hold back, is there? Be encouragers. Your words and actions can be pathways to the divine for someone. So I'm going to take this opportunity to put those words into action, to be an encourager for you. I've been attending the last two Colin and Friends concerts. And each time I come, I bring more and more friends. And what I've noticed is that we come in as individuals or couples or small groups, and we might chat among ourselves. And then we witness this incredible concert of Colin and his musical guests and the passion that they have for music and the gift Colin has for teaching. And it is a sense of awe that is created. And when the concert comes to an end, what I've noticed is people tend to linger. The conversations are spreading among not just the ones that we've come with, but we've turned around and we're talking to strangers. We're interacting with people that we had not met. It's an opportunity to listen to a language that transcends words. Now, I wrote this part of the sermon, and as I was getting ready for this morning, I noticed in the bulletin that your church motto is an open door, and these concerts certainly are an open door. You just don't understand the ripple effect these concerts have. And so I'm encouraging you. This is my experience of one event in the life of this congregation. And I encourage you to continue to look for ways that you can keep the door open to an incredible talent that's up here in Northern Door County. I want to thank you, and please be encouraged. It blows me away when I come up here. So thank you very much. Let us pray. Holy God, you give us so many opportunities to share your love, to be encouragers of others. And Lord, those moments of awe can inspire us to do so much more than what we think is possible. Lord, you've blessed the Ephraim Moravian congregation bountifully, and we pray for the continued blessings that they are to not only this congregation, but to the wider community. We give you the thanks and praise, Lord. Amen. And at this time, we call upon our ushers as we bring a portion of what God has so generously given to us back to God. Surrounds us and is within us and holds us up and bears on things. And Lord, we give you the thanks and praise. And in this Easter season, Lord, we are aware of the new life that is breaking through the ground, new opportunities that are presented to us. Endings have small meaning when we know that they open up doors to new life and to new birth. And Lord, we pray for municipal leaders, we pray for state and federal leaders, that a sense of moral courage would invade their decisions. Lord, we also ask for your healing touch and your presence to be noticeable in the people that are in our prayer list. We pray for the family of Betty Overbeck. We pray for Joni, Jean, Lois, Anne, Dave, Elise, Kim, Kathy, Maggie, Joel, and Barbara. And Lord, we pray that your will may be done in all of these situations to all of these people. Lord, we, like the disciples, ask that you remember us in your kingdom and teach us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Christ's heart to love through the dynamic energy of the Holy Spirit.